Hello and welcome. Today I'm going to be talking about StereoKit. This is a project that I've been working on for the past almost a year now, so I'm really excited to be talking about this and sharing this with everybody. So first of all, what is StereoKit? StereoKit is a mixed reality library built on C#, OpenXR, and Visual Studio. It's open source. And it's designed to be really easily used. So this is kind of a collection of tools that allow you to build mixed reality applications. You know, the things that are kind of tough to do from scratch. Things like stereo rendering, physics, user interface, 3D asset pipelines. These are all really tough problems to do. And usually you have to go to a game engine in order to get them. So the whole goal of StereoKit is to make all of this stuff accessible from an environment that's more comfortable to a lot of developers, or is even a little bit better for people who don't necessarily need to make an entire game. So as you can see, these are features from the latest highlight reel that I published. Version 0.2 just came out a little while ago. So this is something I'm super, super excited about. So, what we're going to be talking about in this presentation is just kind of the rundown of what StereoKit is, how to use it. So first of all, I'm going to start with who I am, because who I am and what StereoKit is are a little bit intertwined in some of these ways. Why did I make StereoKit? I have a lot of experience behind tools like this, so I have a lot of opinions about why this is valuable and why you might enjoy using it versus some other tool. Then I'm going to tell you about the core tenets for StereoKit. These are the rules that I set in place when I first started making StereoKit to help me guide the direction for development. That helps me sit down and say, why should I do this? Why should I prioritize that? Or how should I prioritize these things? Then I'll tell you how to use StereoKit. Just a quick introduction, mostly pointing you to resources, but a quick sample of what it's like to build something with StereoKit. Then I'll tell you a little bit about where I'm going to be taking this. Since this is only about a year old, it's still fairly young and has a lot of room to grow. So the direction that I'm heading in is also pretty interesting. So who am I? I am initially a game developer, so I've been making games since I was about 12 years old. I've spent a lot of time as an independent game developer, working in social mobile on big titles like Empires and Allies, Breach and Clear. I also worked a while in VR professionally during the early years of VR. So I've spent a lot of time working environments that are really constrained by hardware, like getting onto a low-end phone that may be in a faraway distant place, or working on VR hardware that might even be mobile. So fitting things into these small constraints and getting them to run really fast and really well is a very important topic to me. I also spent most of my time on these projects as a graphics engineer and tool developer, so I spend a lot of time building tools for people. I think a lot about how to make people's workflows faster, how to be more productive as a developer, either on small teams or as an independent developer, or just all up, how to make things more efficiently. So here's a sampling of tools that I've built for myself or for the Unity Asset Store or all that sort of thing. This is an example of a project that I built not so long ago. I sat down for a while after I left Zynga and decided to make 52 games in a year. This was a really interesting project that didn't go as well as I had hoped, but it started off with some really interesting things. So this particular project I built in 2 weeks. This was actually up and functional up in the first 2 or 3 days. Like, I had the core game loop working. It was fun to play. It was exciting. It looked great. Then I got into user interface, and that took the rest of the 2 weeks, just the user interface by itself. And what had happened is I had built a whole pile of tools for myself with regards to gameplay, art, flow, things like this, and I didn't have any built for user interface. I was just using Unity's default user interface tools, which were honestly a little bit disappointing. So it took me a long time to build this user interface, and it was really kind of a testament to how important tools were for development for me. Just being able to iterate on this core gameplay with the tools that I had in those 2 or 3 days was really, really powerful and really meaningful and made this game the game that it was. But then being weighed down by the user interface and lack of tools that I had there. So this was a kind of an influential moment for me, just seeing how important these tools were that I had made to my workflow. Why did I make StereoKit? So I joined Microsoft about 2 years ago now, and the very first project that I did was with Spectator View. I created a little bit of a demo mind mapping tools for just to showcase Spectator View, and I took this to a couple of conferences to show it off. And this was honestly a nightmare project for me because this required a HoloLens and it required an iOS device, and I even had this running on Android too. So a large part of the process here was actually testing this on device, doing the networking, trying out the interface, and the deploy to device for both HoloLens and iOS ranged anywhere from half an hour to about 2 hours, anytime that I wanted to make a new build, depending on what exactly I was changing. And this was brutal. This was absolutely demoralizing. I spent an evening in a hotel in Berlin at a conference just agonizing over a bug. And it was one of the worst development experiences that I've ever been through. So one of the things that I came out of this project with was this rule for myself to never iterate on device. I don't iterate on HoloLens device or an iPhone device when I can help it. So my very next project, this was the mixed reality lighting tools. It basically looks at the room that you're in and builds up a lighting model for it. But I built all of this on my laptop. I needed access to the gyroscope, accelerometer, things like that. In order to do this, and like normally this would be something where you would need to put it on device in order to try this out. The Unity editor doesn't provide you gyroscope data in the editor itself. You have to deploy in order to get it. So I actually spent a couple of days trying to figure out how do I get access to the gyroscope within the Unity editor. And so I wrote a plugin that would basically, it was a native plugin. This was the first time I had done that. And it went to a different API, grabbed the gyroscope data, and fed it back into Unity, and I could use that no problem. So most of my development was actually done on a laptop with a gyroscope using the Unity editor's play mode. And this was so much better. It really allowed me to iterate on this and make improvements to it without having to do this big back and forth round trip to the device. So it was a revolutionary idea to me, like, don't iterate on device, like this deploy time is just going to kill it. Then after that, I also spent a while traveling around to different countries, working with different companies and helping them port their applications from HoloLens version 1 to HoloLens version 2. So this was an opportunity where I got to see a lot of people's projects, how they were building things, the problems that they had. Like, we did a lot of troubleshooting together. I helped people build stuff with this. And so I got to see a broad sampling of what sort of issues people were running into. So around this time, when I was wrapping up this tour of the world, I encountered OpenXR. We released the version 0.9 preview about a year ago when I started StereoKit. And this was really an interesting project to me. I've always been kind of a fan of this low-level programming stuff. I used to work a lot with DirectX and OpenGL and XNA and these sort of things. So OpenXR was something that popped up and I was like, that sounds kind of cool. So I gave it a try and I wrote a small tutorial on it. And this is what I came up with. It's a fairly simple little example here of just, you know, taking some geometry, some shaders, walking around in this environment. But this was 700 lines of code. It was C, DirectX 11, and OpenXR. And the really amazing thing about this is it deployed in 5 seconds. Like, it took 5 seconds to compile and deploy it to a HoloLens 2. And I was blown away. That was such an intoxicating sensation to be able to just write 700 lines of code and then deploy in 5 seconds. That was cool. I liked that a lot. And so that kind of started a lot of the thinking towards, well, maybe building something not using Unity is a viable alternative. So I decided to take a stab at this. I love writing game engines, I love writing rendering tech, stuff like that. And I decided I really needed something that I could build applications, not necessarily games, or tools, without using this hefty tool that's does everything and takes a while to build. So I sat down and gave myself a couple of rules to help focus my work on this project. So here's what I came up with. These are the core tenets for StereoKit. It's basically, how do I make StereoKit different from a game engine? How do I focus it so that it's realistic for me to tackle? And how do I make it the best tool for this particular job? And I'll go into detail on these in these upcoming slides. So very first thing is mixed reality focused. So by scoping it specifically to mixed reality, this allows me to laser focus on this one topic and make it good. This also helps with defaults. One thing that's often tricky is you'll get into a tool and the defaults are not necessarily for mixed reality. Maybe they're for mobile phones, or maybe they're for like these first-person shooters or something like that. The defaults are not necessarily configured the way that you need them, and that can be a long learning curve to figure out what exactly makes the best configuration for mixed reality. So it's specifically for mixed reality, and this helps make it be very good at doing mixed reality related tasks. The next item is keeping it simple. I really, really loved libraries like XNA and processing. These are things that I have worked with in the past that really brought me joy when I used them. So I've thought back to those a lot when building the API for StereoKit and say, how can I do as much as possible with as little code as possible? So this particular example here is basically Hello World with an asset. It's loading an asset from file and displaying it on your mixed reality headset. And this is basically five core lines of code, and it gives you your object, it gives you hands, it gives you lighting, it gives you a little bit of a place to work with. And that's really great. I tried to keep this idea throughout the entire API of just like, how do I do this with a short chunk of code? As an example, here's a ruler that I have in my project. It's really handy for just like measuring little pieces of user interface or whatever, make sure everything lines up right. But this is a single function. It's 15 lines of code long. I can copy it and paste it into any project that I want to and just call that function. It's very, very simple. It's very easy. It's really shareable too. You can debug this, you can extend it. It's pretty great. So it's just kind of like this. A lot of functionality in these small packets of code. Then making it fun. So this is kind of a catch-all category that includes things like build time. Build time is super important to me because this is one of the places where I've suffered the most. You know, waiting on a build to try something on device, especially when you're working with a new medium like mixed reality and you really need to try these things on device, build time is critical towards making a good product. So StereoKit doesn't quite build in 5 seconds, but it does deploy in less than a minute to the HoloLens. If you're doing VR, then there's basically no build time at all. It just goes. And for AR, it's something that I'll constantly be working on, trying to make it a little faster. But a minute is pretty great, and I'm very happy to wait for that amount of time. You might even find it runs faster than that, depending on the computer that you run with. But it's also, so making it fun is also about how do you make the development experience enjoyable. I don't really love doing all these esoteric bits of code, working with obscure libraries with awful syntax and stuff like that. I really need to have fun when I'm developing. And honestly, this is mixed reality, right? Like, we're not building financial spreadsheets here. Maybe you're doing that in VR, but This is mixed reality, and mixed reality is pretty cool, even when you're doing mundane things. So it should be fun. And if it's not fun, that's probably the kiss of death for the tool that you're using. Then here's one thing that I think is really, really important and is one of the big differentiators between something like StereoKit and something like a game engine. So this is asset management. Now, with a game engine, you typically have a pile of assets that you'll put into your project. The engine will parse them, optimize them, whatever. Like, this process can be lengthy. It might be short, depending on how things go. But in general, this is something that's done during build time, not during runtime. And this gets really tricky when, for example, you want to load a 3D model while your application is running. Maybe it came from a website. Maybe your client needs to load it into the application, but engines typically don't provide this functionality out of the box. If you want to load a model, you may have to package it up using some sort of complicated packaging system, or you're going to have to write a loader yourself. And I've seen a lot of these loaders. The number of times I've run across people with an OBJ loader is pretty incredible. It's also quite remarkable how often I've seen those loaders not work very well. For people who don't understand 3D very well, and it's not a problem if you don't, like 3D is complicated, and if you're just trying to build an enterprise application, you shouldn't need to know these things. But if you don't know much about it, there's a very good chance that you may get something about these loaders wrong. And even if you do know how to write a 3D model loader or how to pick the correct 3D model loader, it may not be doing important things like mesh cache optimization or texture compression or things like that. And then it's also just kind of a pain to hunt down a new file format loader every time you want to load a different type of model. It's just a lot of work that you probably shouldn't need to be doing. So in StereoKit, the asset pipeline is entirely runtime. Any sort of optimizations go into the background. This is all done for you. So it supports a number of file formats, and this is something that will change over time as I add more file formats to it. But all of these things work at runtime. They're designed to be something that you don't have to worry about. You just load it and go. This is super important to me. Then we have hand-centric input. So we interact with the world using our hands. This is just how things work for us. In mixed reality, it kind of makes sense that the majority of people will also be interacting with the mixed reality world using their hands. If this was a game engine, again, I probably would do something different, like focus on controllers as the primary input model. But because we're working on applications and tools and things like that, hands makes a lot more sense. So at any point in time, you have access to hand information, simulated joints or actual joints from your hand. So when you're just using the flat screen debug environment, your mouse behaves as if it's a real hand. If you have controllers with a pointer and grip buttons on it, those will simulate joint-based hands. And then if you have a leap motion, you can plaster that to your face and it'll track too. Same thing with HoloLens, it uses the articulated hands from there. And any sort of platform that I put this on, I will include hand support. They are guaranteed to be there and present for you. Another thing is user interface. Again, kind of a little bit different from what a game engine does. Game engines have to support a huge range of different user interfaces. Basically, the idea behind user interface in a game is that it should kind of theme and fit with the game's art style and feel. And so, if for a game engine to create a good user interface tool, it has to be so flexible that it can support anything that you really throw at it. But this is not great, again, for something like an application or a tool, where honestly, standardization helps users learn how to use your applications. If they learn it in one, they'll learn it in the other. So having a standardized user interface makes things simpler for your user, but they also make it simpler for the developer as well. When all you need to do is create a window and some buttons, and you don't need to skin them with weird stuff or add some fancy effects to them, you can really pare it down to some basic API calls. So I've followed the immediate mode GUI concept for a lot of StereoKit's default user interface. So anytime you want to do something with user interface, it's a single call. It just gets called every single frame. If you don't call it that frame, then it doesn't show up that frame. It's pretty simple. This was inspired by a lot of my work with Unity's editor user interface, as well as Dear IM GUI from the C++ world. And it's really, really fun to work with. Like, this is very short, very terse. It allows you to do a lot very quickly with some very basic code. And it does have a fair bit of flexibility to it. The user interface is probably a little bit on the early side with StereoKit, but it does do a fair number of things. If you feel like it's lacking something that you really want in there, please do let me know. File an issue in the GitHub repository. But this is a very functional user interface that works really well and really easily and quickly. Then this kind of goes back to the mixed reality first thing, performance by default. The renderer for StereoKit is instance-based, and it's very much built for stereo rendering. So it's very difficult to mess up the performance of StereoKit just because of the way things are set up. Like, by default, everything does exactly what it's supposed to be doing. And by default, it can actually push through a fair bit of models into your scene. So StereoKit is pretty fast. Now, another part of that I'll show you here is the lighting system. So this is a bit of a different lighting system that comes with that same sort of mentality. StereoKit does not use point lights or directional lights or complicated shadowing tech. All that StereoKit has is a single spherical harmonics lookup. So this is basically like a little math function that's super cheap to calculate that represents the lighting of an environment. And it's just one of these things, and it's super fast. So you can basically bake this into, like, that's what's happening here is baking a light into a spherical harmonics, which then gets applied to the environment. But it's really hard, again, to make this a poorly performing lighting system. Like, you're never going to be able to toss in lights to bring your system to a slow. And the nice thing is, spherical harmonics do look pretty great. So it's going to look nice and it's going to be fast at the same time. So while it may be a little bit limiting, it's really all that you need for most applications. And if you do want a more complicated lighting system, StereoKit does have a full shader system. So you can write your own shaders, build your own systems, and it's flexible enough to work with that too. Then, last on the list is integral documentation. So, documentation is a core part of any product. If a product doesn't have good documentation, then it's not a finished product, in my opinion. So, what I did with StereoKit is I actually built a tool for generating documentation based off of the code. So, on the left, you can see is a page from the docs, and on the right, you can see the code that it's generated from. So, I've tried to make it so that every single function, every method, every structure has a small example for it. So in the code, I can put these little tags, these code samples, and my application will scrape through those code samples and insert them into the documentation. So this is real live code that's guaranteed to work. It's tested before every build, and I get a little report that says, like, these things all ran. It also generates screenshots too. That screenshot right there is not something that I took with a tool. This is something that is generated by the code itself when it's verifying that everything is correct. So these screenshots are a great way to look at it and say, like, ah, that's exactly what this code produces. This code definitely runs. I compiled it, it executed. And it's also really great in the version control stuff when I'm developing, because I can go through all of the screenshots in version control and look at the difference between them to see what's changed. So this documentation system is really powerful for making sure that everything is up to date, everything is working. It's also really nice for me as a developer trying to maintain this code because I can keep all this documentation in line with the code that I'm already working with. So it makes it a lot easier for me to create docs for people to read through and reference. Okay, so that's what StereoKit is. Now here's a little bit about how to use it. So the first things first, StereoKit.net is where I keep all of the documentation, all of the reference, all of the samples. If you go here, you're going to find all the resources you need in order to get started. These two pictures here are sample projects that I've built using StereoKit to demonstrate certain pieces of functionality. The one on the left is a small finger painting application that includes saving and loading from file. And the one on the right is using the Bing Maps API to display a piece of terrain on a little widget thing. So this is kind of a cool little sample too that shows you a little bit about how to do more complicated rendering or interacting with an external API like the Bing Maps one. Then I also have a short and sweet getting started guide. StereoKit is shipped through NuGet, but you can use the Visual Studio template for StereoKit to get started. This already packages up the NuGet as well as some starter code, along with a little bit of project housekeeping that manages assets a little bit nicer. So if you're going to use StereoKit, I very much recommend using the Visual Studio template for it. And if you go to StereoKit.net, the Getting Started guide walks you through all of this. Then also, StereoKit is open source, it's MIT licensed, so all of the code is there for you to look at, change, debug, put pull requests towards, file issues. Like, this is all out there for you to do whatever you want with. And I'm happy to have people contributing, I'm happy to have people digging through here. This is what it's here for. So it's on GitHub, definitely go check out that. All right, so now, where's it going? So this is, again, like I said, kind of the early stages of development. We've gone through two iterations so far, so it's gotten a lot of good feedback, and I've made a lot of changes based off of these feedback, but there's still a lot more that can be done. So first of all, OpenXR is still pretty young too. Right now, StereoKit supports Windows Mixed Reality, it supports HoloLens 2, and it supports Oculus Desktop. But OpenXR has a couple of other places that it still needs to get onto. And when it does, I'll be there too. I pay very close attention to what OpenXR is working on, what sort of extensions are coming out, and as soon as they do, I try to hop onto them as soon as I can. I even have a small branch inside of the GitHub repository that has some of the preview features. So in this particular example, you're seeing the third eye render, so holograms line up better with the real world, like you can see on the hands, as well as things like QR code tracking. This is the spatial bridge extension that allows you to interact with some of the Windows APIs for things like QR codes. So when OpenXR goes someplace, StereoKit will also go to that place as well. This is a great time saver for me, and it's going to be great for you as well. The next thing that I have to do on the platform support side, Oculus Quest released a preview runtime recently. So this is something that I need to work on a cross-platform renderer for StereoKit, and Oculus Quest is going to be my target for that. This is the primary bit of development needed for version 0.3. So I'll be working on this a lot in the near future. And as long as I'm doing Android-based Oculus Quest, Monedo is a Linux runtime for OpenXR. So I'll probably try and hit these in the same breath of code and make sure that they work at the same time. Then a little bit further on, WebXR is really interesting. I really love the idea of embedding some of these samples and tests inside of the documentation and reference. That way you can look at the code and see it running right there in front of you. But this is perhaps a little bit further in the future. I can see how to do it, perhaps. There's still a couple things I need to work out. But this is someplace that I hope to take StereoKit at some point. So that's StereoKit. I hope this was interesting to you. If you have questions, I spend a lot of time on Twitter, so you can find me at Kojaku there. I also, please definitely go to stereokit.net, look at the guides, the samples, the reference there, and let me know if you need any help with that. I've also got a blog at playdeck.net. I occasionally write about StereoKid or tech art or various technological or mixed reality related things. So if you're interested in reading, check that one out. Then I also have a small community on the Holo Developers Slack. It's just a StereoKid channel in there. But if you're looking for people to chat with or more immediate feedback, that might be a good place to go to as well. Plus, the Holo Developers Slack is a great place in general. So again, thank you so much for your time. I really hope that you try StereoKid. Thanks for watching.